Think of disability in astronomy, and you may recall Dr. Kent Clark from the film Contact, based on the real scientist at the SETI Institute, and formerly of NASA, named Kent Colours, a blind astrophysicist who developed some of the algorithms used to detect potential extraterrestrial signals, and the scene where he's listening to radio data coming from the dishes of the Very Large Array. This is and will always be fiction, as astronomers don't do that. But the reality is that for many amateur astronomers who have one form of disability or another, astronomy, as with all walks of life, can present significant and very real challenges. An incredible fact is that in the UK alone, almost 2 million people have some form of visual impairment or sight loss, with that number increasing by 100 every day. Of these, 365,000 are registered as being severely sight impaired or partially sighted, the latter of which can vary from having to wear glasses to having severe tunnel vision. A lack of sight, as well as a general loss of motor function as we get older, can turn a fun and rewarding hobby into a real struggle. Whilst blindness is considered by many to be one of the ultimate disabilities when it comes to astronomy, issues such as dyslexia, and imagine trying to read the scrolling display on a hand controller of a go-to display while suffering from this, and physical disabilities can also have a major impact for many amateurs. If you think that disability is somebody else's problem, then imagine trying to lift a relatively heavy equatorial mount out into the garden every night, and then try to imagine doing this with a condition such as severe arthritis or work-related backache, which can affect anyone at any age. The scale of the accessibility issue is quite huge. In fact, across Europe, the number of people with a disability of some form or another is in excess of 37 million. Globally, that figure exceeds 500 million. So this is not the niche market problem that sadly many large commercial companies treat it. There are resources available. The advent of computers heralded a huge leap forward in terms of accessibility. However, unless an application developer or website designer factors in accessibility, a user with visual impairments may find it almost impossible to even read the latest astronomy news information, product release review, or report. Organisations such as NASA have taken some true giant leaps for mankind by making as much of their hugely visual-based information and content on the websites as usable as possible, in compliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act. Having navigated their site using screen reader software such as the hugely popular JAWS application, it is obvious to see the benchmark they have set for users with disabilities. NASA have also published four books by Noreen Grice, an astronomer at the Museum of Science in Boston, and co-authors, which use a combination of Braille and raised touchable images of objects both in our solar system and beyond. With e-books and their associated readers, as well as online talking books gaining in popularity, it is wonderful to see a traditional medium like the printed page still pushing new and exciting frontiers. Coming from a software development environment, I've attended many development conferences and workshops that deal with accessibility. All of the companies involved, as well as distinguished experts with decades of study in these areas, state that if you make an application or website more accessible, you generally make it easier and more usable for non-disabled individuals at the same time. If your product, website, or application is easy to use, more people will use it. Take, for example, the success of applications like iTunes, or web application interfaces such as Facebook. In both cases, whilst not having the best user interfaces ever developed, they are very simple to use and have rapidly gained huge following. Recent technologies such as audio and video podcasts and technology developments like RSS feeds can provide exciting and useful astronomy information and images for users with visual disabilities via screen readers, speech synthesizers, etc. in the latter case. But what do you do if you're deaf? Take a video podcast. You may be able to lip-read the speaker if they're on the screen, but mostly the video podcasts have little of that style of presentation, focusing mainly on the exciting imagery from space or ground-based observatories. Thankfully, some organisations provide the scripts for their podcasts, such as the excellent NASA and ESA Hubblecast, but many do not. And with the ability to subtitle video data being so easy, surely it's time that this option is provided by all scientific podcasts. As a side effect, with English being the predominant language for science-based information, providing subtitles would also help people who are non-native English speakers understand the content. As we can see, developing for one community has positive knock-on effects for others. In recent years, some manufacturers, most notably Meade with the MySky and Celestron with the SkyScale, have opened up the Sky for disabled users. The lightweight MySky in particular has both video and audio playback, as well as positioning control for your telescope in a very compact hand controller. It's been a real revelation, not only for able-bodied users, but also for those with disabilities who now have a vastly more portable option than even a laptop to guide them around the heavens, and in a much richer manner than a simple handbox. Then there are the literally thousands of amateur astronomers who have some form of physical or motor disability, ranging from mild to severe backache, a condition which affects one in every four people at some point in their lives, through to varying degrees of paralysis. A walk around an event like AstroFest will show you that our hobby is enjoyed by many older and retired people, who sadly often suffer with these types of conditions more than others. At the last AstroFest, I must have counted at least 20 people, either in wheelchairs or using some form of walking aid. Whilst the laws of physics with regard to optical path lengths for telescopes and weight stability for mounts cannot be overcome, the advent of lightweight carbon fibre and high-quality truss tube optical tube assemblies, which offer the same quality but greater portability than their older counterparts, has provided users with motor and physical disabilities many more options. Obviously, having a permanent mounted setup in the garden, possibly under remote control from a computer in the house, can offer the ultimate in comfort and accessibility, but at quite some considerable investment, something that may not be an option for the individual in these difficult economic times. Thankfully, with the advent of robotic telescopes, the investment can largely be alleviated by renting a telescope, which can have the added benefit of being located somewhere less cloudy than our rain-swept shores. Many of these are now available, with more coming online almost every week. Schools, as well as astronomy societies, have access to the likes of the Fox telescope and the soon-to-be-available LC-OGT network of smaller telescopes. There has never been a better time for the armchair astronomer. Again, we see that developments intended for one group have huge benefits for others. For those who crave the reality of sitting with their own telescope, the advent of very high-quality compact refractors or compound SCT Maxitop-type telescopes has made it possible for all but the most severely disabled to use lighter weight mounts and telescopes for either visual or image-based astronomy. The key problem here is that many beginners seem to think that a small setup is not the done thing, imagining that a telescope has to be like a great big cannon on top of a huge mount. It's a myth that I think the popular astronomy press and local societies should continue to do as much as possible to dispel. As with many walks in life, people with disabilities want the same things that those without disabilities want. From my own discussions in the music industry where I work, if a product is deemed to be good for a specific user base, that user base is very active in promoting that product via social networking websites and the like to as many similar individuals as possible. Take a product like the Scope Buggy as a good example. Here we have a product designed to make it easier to move a large telescope around, and its manufacturers have tested it with telescopes and mounts weighing in excess of 250 kilograms. Now place that product in the hands of an individual with back problems, or who is wheelchair bound, and you suddenly make life much easier for them, with larger telescopes and mounts now a realistic proposition. If one wishes to be commercially orientated, then it's a proven fact that the benefits of making products usable and accessible can have significant commercial returns for companies who are just willing to invest some time and a bit of effort in their design processes. My own studies into this area in software development estimated that if accessibility is factored in at the outset, then it takes only marginally, and that's less than 10%, more development effort to make a product fully accessible for users with a wide range of disabilities. Of course, some products will always have caveats, as making a planetarium application navigable for a blind or partially sighted user would demonstrate. But that little extra effort, especially with web application interfaces, can really reap huge rewards. Disability in one form or another affects most people's lives, be it family, friends, or even personally. Hopefully, the trend for better and more usable and ultimately cost-effective technology that aids everyone will make the future of accessible astronomy a good one for all.